This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, July 28th, 2024, the Olympics passing the torch.
Good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Good to be here in the sanctuary. There at home, it's good to be here on this glorious day God's given us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, it's so good to be here in worship with each and every one of you as we praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. So this is our third and final week talking about the Olympics. They finally caught up with us, right? Yeah, they started this week, right? Yeah. Okay. The first week we talked about training and teamwork. Last week, our focus was on the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And this morning, we're going to talk about passing the torch. Yeah, passing the torch.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your prayers. For my surgery a week and a half ago on my knee. I'm doing well. Physical therapy is so much fun. Ooh. Yeah. So, like, I'm walking pretty good. Ouch, ouch, ouch. But I'm doing good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I've got so many texts and cards and just well wishes. I know that that's, God loves it when we pray for each other. So thank you. So, I want to say a word about the Olympics. We planned this like a couple months ago. We thought it would be a fun thing as we, you know, start off and, you know, we're glued to our TVs. I didn't tell you this morning at like 6:45 this morning, I turned it on and Simone was, She did a great job this morning. I mean, she is just amazing. And then I felt like such a wimp because she's got this ankle wrapped in here. I'm like, ouch, ouch. And she's like doing all kinds of flips over the, with a bad ankle. And wow. Anyway, so the opening ceremonies.
Enough said.
Whatever that was about, let's just remember that the athletes have spent so much time preparing for these 2 weeks. They've spent years. And the spirit of the Olympics is coming together in healthy competition and, you know, pushing one another. And there is a unity that goes on. And so let's celebrate that and I'm trying to keep my mind out of that other chatter that's going on that I just want to be like, what did I just see? But as controversial as the opening ceremonies have been, there's no controversy for us about who Jesus Christ is. I want to read to you Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus is supreme. He's our Lord and Savior, and we get to give witness to that. So let's take the high road. Let's share who Jesus is to us. Let's cheer on the athletes. And that's all I've got to say about that.
Amen.
Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for the opportunity that we have here today to lift your name on high. God, sometimes things get in the way and they try to distract us, but help us always fix our eyes on you. We thank you for the gift of today. We thank you for the gift of this church, for one another, for ministry, and that we get to witness out there in the world who you are and whose we are. We thank you and praise you. We do have a reason to praise. In Jesus' name, everybody agreed and said, amen.
Amen. Passing the torch. Each of the modern Olympic Games opens with the Olympic flame being lit at Olympia, Greece. Several months before, that's not days, weeks, several months before the Olympic Games begin. From Olympia, this ceremony starts with the Olympic torch relay, person to person to person, over land, over water sometimes, which formally ends with the lighting of the Olympic cauldron during the opening ceremony of the Games. The flame then continues to burn in the cauldron for the duration of the Games until it is extinguished at the closing ceremonies. It is relit in Olympia, Greece, 4 years later, several months before those Olympic Games begin. The next one, 2028, will be in Los Angeles. And so they'll light that several months before then in Olympia. And the Olympic flame and the Olympic torch relay were first introduced at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, Germany. The Olympic flame and this whole relay taking the flame from Greece to the place of the Games is a symbol of that connection between the ancient, you know, the Olympics started in ancient Greece, the ancient Greek Games, and the current modern Games. And so by doing this relay, the flame goes from that origin in Greece to wherever the flames are today.
And so while the passing of the torch is actually literally moving that flame from Olympia, Greece, to wherever the current games are, this idea of passing the flame or passing the torch has come to have a symbolic meaning as well. It's usually the leader that takes it and passes it, and so to us today it means transferring leadership, empowering others into a significant role. For instance, you know, if I'm running the race, which I did like for the praise team for 23 years off and on, mostly on. So I'm running that and I get to pass the torch to the next generation, which is Paul. We're mentoring. It's a great, great relationship. It is so important to pass the torch, to empower others, to encourage others, to pick up the mantle and continue on. And even if it's doing it differently, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. In fact, it could be better.
You know, it's interesting. We just heard the other night when President Joe Biden was telling us that he was not going to run after all for the upcoming election. And here's part of what he said. He said, the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. You know, it's not just sports, you know, it's all areas of life. We use that expression, passing the torch, passing the torch.
So God teaches us about passing the torch in Scripture. There's a lot of stories about passing the torch. The Hebrew people with Abram, who later became Abraham. We can start with that story in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3.
Abram did as God commanded and went from the land of his people, his homeland, his place where he grew up, to the land God would show him, the land God sent him. And then after 25 years of waiting, 25 years, Abram at age 100 and his wife Sarai, listen to this, ladies, at 90, they were blessed with a son whose name was Isaac, and the torch was passed.
Now, Isaac had two sons. They were Jacob and Esau. Actually, you should say Esau and Jacob. They were twins, but Esau was born first. And in this unprecedented move, Isaac passed the torch to Jacob, the younger son. Jacob, in turn, passed it to his 12 sons, which are known as the 12 tribes of Israel. And this nation of Israel proceeded from there.
After 400 years of enslavement, for the Hebrew people, the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, God rose up a leader. His name was Moses. Maybe you've heard of him. He raised him up to be his hands and feet, his voice, his ears for the people of God. And those people then wandered the desert 40 years. 40 years as God prepared them for life in the land of milk and honey. But after 40 years of wandering the desert, 40 years of listening to complaints, 40 years of the former slaves falsely remembering how good they had it back in the old country, Moses wasn't to be the one to cross the river with them, the one to lead them to their destination that they dreamed about so long. Instead, he was told to pass the torch to Joshua. Joshua, along with Caleb, were the only two of 12 men who 40 years before, way back before they even started wandering the desert, they'd spied out this new land, this land of promise. And they were the only two of the 12 who gave a favorable report, who trusted that with God's help, they could take and conquer this new land. The other 10 allowed their fear to replace faith. And they didn't trust that God was big enough to overcome the many obstacles that they might encounter. Joshua and Caleb then were allowed to enter, Joshua being the leader, to enter this new land. The other 10 were not. They never crossed the River Jordan into the promised land. But thanks to Joshua and Caleb, the torch moved forward.
When King David was old and well advanced in years, his son, he had a son called Adonijah. He appointed himself king. Well, this surprised a lot of people, and they wondered, what did David do, letting this guy become king without telling other people? Well, David had nothing to do with it. 1 Kings 1, then King David ordered, call Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah son of Jehoiada. And when they came into the king's presence, the king said to them, take Solomon and my officials down to Gihon Spring. Solomon is to ride on my own mule. There, Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet are to anoint him king over Israel. Blow the ram's horn and shout, long live King Solomon. Then escort him back here, and he will sit on my throne. He will succeed me as king, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. And so here we have a message delivered and a message received. David clearly passed the torch on, not to Adonijah, but to Solomon.
And so throughout the scriptures, we see the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, passing the torch, passing the flame from one leader to another, one generation to the next, over and over and over again. One of the best examples of passing the torch, passing the flame in Scripture, isn't the passing the torch or flame at all. It's passing something called the mantle. And a mantle is a loose, sleeveless garment worn over the outer clothing. Check out 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21, and this is the New King James Version. And it's a little tricky. These two names are very similar, so we have to listen carefully. So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. He was with the number 12 oxen. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. And he said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what I have done, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment for the flame, for the fire, for the what to cook the meat over. And he gave it to the people, and they ate. They had a going away party that he sponsored, didn't they? Yeah. Plus, that was symbolic of goodbye to my past. I'm burning it up, and I'm slaughtering the. I can't farm anymore. I'm moving up. I'm moving ahead. I'm moving to this new part of what God has called me to. And so he gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Wow.
And so in the previous passage, the Lord had told Elijah to anoint Elisha as prophet in his place. So when Elijah threw his mantle on Elisha...
Don't you wish he just called him Sam and Jack, really? Or something like that? It'd be a lot less confusing.
It was a sign to Elisha to leave his farming, to leave his life, and to follow him, to be a servant, to be mentored by Elijah. So in this relationship, Elijah had a responsibility to pour himself in to Elisha, teaching him everything he knew, preparing him to take his place when his days on earth would be no more.
So that was the first book of Kings. The next book, 2 Kings, we find Elijah and Elisha together as the Lord is about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. 2 Kings 2:4. Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And so they came to Jericho.
Elisha continues to follow Elijah. And when the two men got to the Jordan, Elijah took his mantle, he rolled it up, and he struck the water, dividing it. Does that sound familiar? Dividing it so that they could cross to dry ground. 2 Kings 2. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Whoa. Straight to heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father," that shows that mentoring relationship, "the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. That's a symbol of mourning. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Wow. So I remember when I was ordained as an elder in the United Methodist Church, it's a big deal. I mean, this is after, you know, you have to go to college, and then you have to have seminary, and then you have to serve 2 years full time. I mean, it's like a 10-year process by the time you get to the end. And for me, it was longer because I didn't always go full time. But during this ordination ceremony, all the retired pastors were behind me and those of us who were being ordained. And we were here, and they took this big cloak, and they came up and they placed it on our shoulders as a symbol of transferring leadership, that they were retired. They weren't stepping aside as far as being done with ministry, but they were recognizing that leadership, it was a new day. And it was such a powerful thing for us to watch and for me to experience, passing the mantle.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Great experience. Passing the mantle. Much like passing the flame, passing the torch, it's symbolic of passing power, passing leadership to the next generation. The thing that's important about passing that, it doesn't mean that you're done, though, unless you're Elijah and you're carried up to heaven on a flaming chariot, flaming horse. You still got stuff to do, right? You can't say, oh, I'm done. I passed the mantle. No, that's just to open the door to the next generation. But you still got stuff to do. You know, when Elijah picks up the mantle and strikes the water with it, when Elisha picks up the mantle and strikes the water with it, much as Elijah had done previously, it's symbolic that the prophetic opportunities that God had given Elijah have now passed to his mentee, have now passed to his protege, to the one he took under his wing. Elisha is now the prophet of the Lord.
So a couple days ago, we heard President Biden pass the torch, and we have just heard in Scripture how Elijah passed the torch to Elisha. We've heard about Abraham passing the torch, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David. We too are called to pass the torch. Whatever generation we're in, it's just not older people that need to pass the torch. Whatever generation you're in, who are you passing that torch to? We're called to pass the torch, pass the flame, pass the mantle to the next generation.
Here's the thing about passing the flame, passing the torch, passing the mantle, whatever you want to call it. We can only pass it if someone's there to receive it, right? You can't pass if there's no receiver. Yeah. There has to be a receiver, someone willing to take up the yoke of leadership, someone willing to step up and take responsibility, who is ready and willing to be the receiver, ready and willing to accept God's call to exercise power, to lead God's people, ready and willing to do what it takes, to sacrifice, to put others first, to put God first, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There has to be a receiver. And the question is, will it be you? Will it be you? Will it be you? Who will step up to receive? Who will it be? That's the question.
Alan and I have always been committed to trying to find the next generation or younger leaders to pass the torch to. It is so important to us. We want to be a church for all generations that speaks to all generations. It really hurts me when I hear somebody say, well, I looked at all these leaders, you know, people on the leadership, you know, all the teams, and they're all old. We're looking for young leaders. And many of you have stepped up to that. And we are so grateful. But it takes discipleship. It takes commitment. And if some of you who aren't quite there yet are ready to walk through that door, do it. Because we value you. We have to have somebody to pass the torch to. And that takes sacrifice on everybody's part. And we absolutely believe in all of you. And those of you who are in younger generations, especially in 30s and early 40s, who are really, really working hard and raising kids and doing jobs and still leading around here, you're awesome. Keep it up, and let's find out who we can pass the next torch to.
Listen to the first eight verses of Psalm 78. Gives us instructions for passing our faith on to our children. This is a psalm of Asaph. It's not one of David's psalms. This is another guy who wrote this one. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders.
For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so that the next generation might know them, even the children not born yet. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God.
Mm. Did you hear that? We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? It's up to us. They're not going to magically come, you know, osmosis. We got to tell them about his power and mighty wonders. That's our responsibility as adults, as children of God. We have to tell the next generation all we know. You know, that's why we have so many programs for children and youth here at Connection. A children's church, VBX, all the stuff that they're doing all the time. The youth group, they have youth group, they have Sunday morning stuff, they have the retreat that they're on right now. They have all kinds of programs because we need to tell them. We need to tell them. I have a Bible here. It should be a lot more worn than this because this thing's been around a while. The date in it is September 29, 1963. I got this when I was 9. I just turned 9. But the important thing to me, in addition to being a Bible, is the name here, Mrs. Doris Kammerer. She signed this Bible. She was one of the Sunday school teachers at St. Andrew's Church up there in Brookside. She was my Sunday school teacher.
And their Sunday school teachers.
Yeah. You remember Mrs. Kammerer. I sometimes talk with her daughter on Facebook. Her mother, and I also remember another Sunday school teacher, Mr. Davidson. And Mr. Davidson was a most patient, gentle man because I had moved the other side of town, and so Sunday morning was my time to catch up with all my buddies in Brookside and exchange what happened all week and try to keep Mr. Davidson, but he was patient and consistently, in spite of our talking, pursued teaching us the stories from this. And Mrs. Kammerer taught us the stories from this and all those other wonderful teachers. You know, I went to seminary for 4 years and I learned a lot about and went deeper into this, but that isn't where I first learned the stories of the scriptures. I learned the scriptures from the Mrs. Kammerers and the Mr. Davidsons of the world as they passed it to the next generation. And I cherish that. That's why I keep this Bible. I don't read the Revised Standard Version much. I usually use a more modern version. But I keep it to remind me of those saints who shared the scriptures with me at 9 years old.
So there's parents in the room. You're raising your kids. Life is busy. Life is crazy. Life is hard. Sometimes life feels like you can't breathe. You get up, you go to work, you do kids, you run them here, you run them there, go to bed, repeat. The most important thing that you can do as a parent is to teach your kid about Jesus. That is the most important thing. I know that there are many things in life that are important, that are fun, that are necessary. But overall, the most important thing is to pass on faith to your kids, because that's what will carry them through. I can remember when our daughter Megan was getting ready to go to college, and I was pretty emotional, and she was sitting at the counter, and I just said, "Megan, I don't know if you're ready. I don't know. This is hard to let go." And she said to me, "Mom, you've taught me love God, love others." And it's like, okay.
She got it.
I guess you're ready. That overall is what our job is. And to the grandparents in the room, or the great grandparents in the room, our job is to continue, even though our kids are all grown up, to keep pouring into them and to pass our faith on to our grands. And if you don't have kids, or if you don't have grandkids, there are people in your midst that you can pour into. There are people that you can pray for. There is a next generation, even in things that you're involved in. Like, you know, Paul, as the new leader of the praise team, he's pouring himself into Riley, who opened up the service. She just finished eighth grade, okay? So, yeah, she's new, she's learning, but we gotta do that. We've gotta have Ryan, who's on piano, he's just getting ready to go to college. Diane, who was on keyboard, who has been with us 23 years, has poured herself into Ryan a bit so that he would know how to do what he's doing, and he's doing it so well. Who are you pouring into? There's a couple people in my life who are a couple, probably 20, 30 years younger than me, that I just have lunch with, that I pour myself into. I think it's important for us to do that. As a church, we have a responsibility to do that. It's important to share about Jesus, what he did, who he was, what he means to us, how we've gotten through, and we still praise him, just like that song we sang. There's a lot to praise him about. And so it's important to pass it on whatever generation we're in. I think about Ben. Over there. Hi, Ben. You were a kid when you showed up here. And now Ben is training people twice his age back in the control room, because he's been mentored by his dad, by Barry. And now, you know, mentoring really doesn't have always about, it's not always about age. Who are you going to pour yourself into? Ben, it's been awesome to watch you. Your devotions are incredible when you share with the praise team. So who are you going to mentor? Who are you going to pour yourself into?
And you know, we're supposed to pass on the scriptures.
Yeah.
And we should do that and share who Jesus. But we also have to not just share, but show. Does that make sense? We've got to live it out. We've got to not just say it, but be it. You know, what are they watching? What are they seeing in action? Are we living the scriptures? Or are we saying one thing and doing another? We've got to show them what we're saying. Here are these verses found in Deuteronomy. We're going way back here. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, fifth book of the Old Testament. So we're going back centuries. Many centuries, thousands of years. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. New Living Translation. Listen, O Israel. You could substitute in there, listen, O Connection Church. That would work. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your, and all your. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home. And we could, this isn't several thousand years ago, this could be today. And when you are on the road, how many of us live in our cars almost? Talk about them when you're home. Talk about them when you're in the car. When you're going to bed and when you're getting up. In other words, as I said before, it's a 24/7 day, 365, 366 day a year thing. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Don't forget. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates so that you'll remember them as you're going out and as you're coming in. Don't forget and share them with the next generation.
Miss Edna, you could have written this sermon. You have mentored hundreds. You have raised more than I can count, probably, kids. And you continue great-grandchildren, people that aren't related to you, passing on the faith, passing on the leadership mantle. Thank you for what you've done for our community. Yeah.
We just met the other day to talk about what we should be doing to help more. Continues to pour in.
Thank you for what you've done. It's important to listen to each other, to value each generation. God has given each one of us something important to say, no matter what our age. I'm done.
Okay.
You're done. Because I just went off script.
Well, the thing, you know, those prayer boxes, they said, wear on your hands, forehead. Some Orthodox Jews literally do that. We don't take it quite so literally. We don't wear, but we should be wearing them, so to speak, on our forehead, on our wrists, with our entire being. Amen?
Amen.
So ultimately, Jesus passed the torch, passed the flame, passed the man, or whatever you want to call it, to you and me. Right? Yeah. He has called each of us to carry that on, to carry on his work. He started with the help. He wants to us to do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. With the help of the Holy Spirit. We're the ones who are called to share the saving grace of Jesus Christ with the world. How we share takes many different forms because we've all been given different gifts, different talents, different passions, different personalities. You know, the way I do it's going to be, if you've seen it, different from Carrie. We're different. We're wired differently. And that God has that in the plan. Because when we all work together, it works. Amen? Amen. Here's how Jesus shares it in Matthew 5. Telling us to get out there and let it show. This is the Message version because I love how Eugene Peterson has translated this. Jesus says this, let me tell you why you're here. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? We ought to know why we're here, right? What's our purpose? You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. I love the way he puts that. Because salt gives it flavor, doesn't it? Yeah, we want to be flavor, the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? It's up to you. You've lost your usefulness, you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And I've got, now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Say shine.
Shine.
Now shine. Don't just say it. Do it. Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So we've taken this Olympic theme for 3 weeks, and as Alan said, we started out with training and teamwork, and then last week, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, and then today, about passing the torch, or passing the mantle, passing the flame, however you say it. But it is important for us to invest in others, invest in the generation or generations that come after us, listen to one another, value one another as we pass on faith. Passing on what Jesus has done for us, how much Jesus has made a difference in our lives. May all the world know who he is. May the world know. May the world know the love of Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, found in this book, the Word of God, the love letter written for us. This is the good news. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. It's a tough word to live out. Help us see each other with your eyes, hear one another, try to understand one another as we live in this beautiful place that you've given us. God, there are times when you've called us, no matter what age we are, to let go and allow or pass on what we do to others. Help us all pray for one another. Think about someone who in our lives we can invest in for the future. I thank you for this church who is so serious about passing on the faith to all generations. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for the sinners. I am one. Who love you, who stake their lives on you. Lord, your goodness and your mercy covers us. We thank you for that gift. We pray all this in the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.